Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Yarn and Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Yindji Country. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and like to acknowledge First Nation people and our traditional owners of the land. Thank you very much for coming to the program, National Talk Black. Yarn Up Strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black. The daily number here, 1-800-422-416. Our text number, 045-714-0550, and our Facebook page, well, BBM 987 FM. All right, now we're talking about KASANAM, Congress of Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander Nurses and Midwives, who's celebrating 25 years of looking after our First Nation nurses and midwives across this country. And they're celebrating 25 years. And look, we've been talking with beautiful nurses and midwives for their journey in our own right. Black Australian Nurses and Midwives Stories and National Exhibition, Part 2. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Emeritus Professor, and that's Ben Salick on the line. Professor, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I've been looking forward to this interview.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you very much for coming to the program, Auntie. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob were you from.
I'm originally from West Australia. I was born in Broome. My mother, the Jarrah Mob of Horse Creek, but I came to Darwin when I was a child.
Yes.
So I'm a Jarrah woman.
Jarrah woman. Okay, beautiful. Yes. Thank you very much. Now, travelling away, you grew up in Darwin, is that right?
Yeah, I grew up in Darwin, but I haven't always lived here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you travel away, become a nursing sister, and returned as a professor.
That's right.
So tell us your journey, your successful journey, and look, paving the way for other brothers and sisters to become nurses and midwives, yes?
Yes, absolutely.
So tell us about your journey, Aunt. Yeah.
How long have I got?
The microphone. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I'll tell you. When I was in grade six in Darwin, I noticed that all the grade seven kids, the Aboriginal boys sat for scholarships and we girls had to be domestics. So I told my mother, I said, next year I am not going to be a domestic.
Thank you.
And she said, no, you're not. We're sending you to boarding school and you're going to become a secretary. Well, that didn't bode well with me, and I knew that. I knew that I wasn't going to boarding school. We didn't have the money. My father could no longer. He was a Malay pearl diver.
Yes.
And, we just couldn't afford it. Mm. And he was driving trucks of power and water. Anyway, so what happened was I did go to boarding school, and while I was boarding school, I don't know where they got the money to send me there for the first beginning of the year.
Yes.
Mum, I'd forgotten that she was a businesswoman in Broome. So whilst I was away, she turned our family car into a taxi and a part of our house as a mixed general store because we lived in post-World War II Darwin in those houses, those Sydney William corrugated iron huts left behind by the
US. Yes.
So Dad did the taxis and she did the shop. And off I went to boarding school. I came back and they said, Mum wanted me to be a secretary and I didn't want to. And,
Did you tell your mother anyway. That you did not want to be a secretary?
No.
No, thank you. Of course, respect.
I told her, absolutely. You know, she could be a tiller the hun when she wanted to be. So they said, you better go and get a job. And I said, well, I'm going nursing and I want to go nursing in Royal Adelaide because I'd made a lot of friends in Adelaide at boarding school.
Yes.
And she said, you're not going nursing. We sent you to boarding school because you didn't want to be a domestic. Yes. Now you want to be worse than a domestic, cleaning everybody's waste. So I didn't work. I sat in the shop eating ice cream, playing Elvis Presley at the platters. And then my father came and he said, you better go see matron. And I said, but I'm not sick. He said, but you've got to get a job. And I said, oh, can I go nursing? Mm. And he said, yes. So I raced that.
So Dad gave you the thumbs up.
Yeah, well, you know, I think because of her pride, she sent him. He was the peacemaker. He was yes. the gentle person. So I went to see Mike and I became a nurse.
Good.
And did my training. It was stiff training. There was racism.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that back in the day.
Yep. In the first 6 months of my nursing, I started at 6 a.m. and started at 3, and no other nurse did that.
Yeah.
When I graduated, my certificate said it was 2 weeks after my 4 year had expired. And when I questioned it, they said, we were just looking at you for the first 2 weeks whether you were suitable.
Mm, of course.
But the thing is that my mother was a very resourceful and determined woman,
yes.
and she instilled in me that I could do whatever I wanted to do. And what
well, not only as a woman, but as a black woman at that.
Well, double jeopardy.
Yes, exactly.
So what I did, I used racism as my motivating
Good.
Factor.
Yes.
And so I thought, you know, they think I can't do it, just watch me.
Watch me, yeah, watch this space.
But I have to say,
yes.
Darwin was very small in the late 50s, early 60s, and all the domestics and the yard people and, you know, all the minor people working, the lower way, were our people, Aborigines and
yes,
Torres Strait Islanders. And they wouldn't let me leave. They kept telling me how they were proud of me and they kept growling me if I had a sour face. So that's when I realised what it's like to be black, the love.
Yeah. Fantastic. And yourself married, kids? Tell us that story.
Yes, well, I've married. I had two children.
Mm-hmm.
I got married in 1962, and my first job was working at Aboriginal Reserve, which is La Jemanu now, but it was known
yes.
as Hooker Creek.
Okay.
But anyway, in 1972, I left an abusive marriage, and it still wasn't working, living in the same town. So in 74... I got on the plane under another name with my two kids and escaped to Adelaide.
Two kids? What do you got, two girls?
Yeah, two girls, two beautiful girls.
Lovely.
And we went to Adelaide and I had a contact there in the Aboriginal Employment CES.
Mm.
And, you know, there weren't the nursing jobs. There wasn't a nursing job that was available at the time. But the guy that was handling my case said that there was other jobs that I could do, you know, and I said, no, I was stubborn. I was my mother's daughter.
Yeah, good on you.
Anyway, after my children in 74, they went home to Darwin, came home to Darwin to spend Christmas with family up here, and they were blown down with Cyclone Tracy.
Yes.
So in January 75... I went across the road, rang up my employment office, an Aboriginal guy from Alice Springs, and he said, not you again.
Yeah.
And I said, find me the best possible job,
yes.
and I promise you I will succeed. He said, I'll come around after work. He did,
yep.
and it was a counsellor to the first Aboriginal higher education program in the country.
Good.
So I was the first Aboriginal person to work in higher education. I was offered the opportunity to study. I didn't want to because, you know, I knew I was dyslexic and my confidence had been lost through the years of abuse. So I took the job and I thought it would get me and my kids out of living in this condemned house and
yep.
the friends, the other woman and her kids, and I'd have it for 6 months and I'd try nursing again.
Mm.
But then... Anyway, the guy said to me, you know, will you study? And after telling me the day before, I got the job and it was over twice as much as I was getting nursing.
Yes.
And he said, you'll start Monday and you'll be studying the diploma in social work. So he said, anyway, the next day, that was Thursday, Friday I came to work and he said, would you want to? I didn't want to, but I'd already went home the night before and said to my kids and my friends,
yes.
we're rich, we're going to get out of this house. So I couldn't go back that next night.
Yeah, you couldn't backtrack now. Yeah, you're committed.
So I did, and I was only going to do it until I could get on my feet.
Sure.
But what had happened was that I realized that I could do more for our mob in higher education than I could in the rigid nursing racist regime.
Yes.
And that's what I did. So I worked in that program as a student counsellor for the first 5 years.
Mm. And were you still studying nursing on the side, were you?
No. I was studying social work.
Okay.
Yeah, I was enrolled in a diploma in social work. So after 5 years, I took over that program.
Yeah.
I was running it. And then in the 1980, because I started in 75, in 83, 8 years later, myself and the non-Indigenous staff there, we were able to mount the first degree to celebrate in our culture.
Oh, fantastic.
Aboriginal history. And that's when we started introducing truth-telling into the university.
Yes.
And then other programs started to merge around the country. They saw the success of our people. No longer did we knew we were bright. The non-Indigenous didn't think we were bright, so we just took off.
Mm.
So in 85, I had the opportunity to go to Harvard. I heard of Harvard when I was at boarding school, but never thought I'd be there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a trip of a lifetime.
Good.
It really was. And so that's basically my story. I've worked in South Australia. I love the Noongar people. They were wonderful to me.
Lovely.
Then I worked in the Northern Territory. And my last job was at Western Sydney University. So, and when I was made an America's professor when I retired from Charles Darwin, I was the first Aboriginal woman to become an emeritus professor.
Beautiful.
And in fact, I was the first Aboriginal person to get a doctorate from Harvard University.
I salute you. Congratulations.
Well, you know, I've got to thank racism for that.
Well, thank you. Racism, there it is. And that's the tool, that's the motivation in regard to your success. And that's the thing. We as black people, I mean, if you decide to do something in life, people are going to talk about you. If you decide not to do it, people are going to talk about you. Do it anyway. And success is the best revenge is what I'm picking up, Professor.
Well, that's right. That's right. And the thing I had to show my daughters a different way of life. And so I was able to, I supported them myself.
Yes.
And I showed them a different life. And, you know, like, they've done well in life, but I have a granddaughter who's an actor in Melbourne. She went to the Victoria College of Art.
Okay.
One that's a school teacher. I've got two here finishing their business degrees.
Yes.
And my handsome two grandsons are tradies.
Are tradies. All right, fantastic.
Yeah, so
now, did your daughters pick up the nursing pen?
No, they didn't. One worked for Aboriginal Health, the other one worked for education.
All right, beautiful. All right, that's fine.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm looking forward to this...
celebration, 25 years, Casanam?
Well, I am.
Yeah, good on you.
Because we have come a long way.
Yes.
Those of us who started early,
we
had to go through a lot.
Exactly.
But I have to say, the current nurses are still going through that racism.
Of course. And that's what Casanam's there for, to make sure that stamping out racism, you know, in university as well as in hospitals or in the medical world, of course.
Absolutely. And, you know, Professor Roy-Ann West, leading Casanam, has done amazing stuff over the last
couple of years. Hats off to Professor Roy-Ann. Exactly.
Yes. She is one of my most favourite people.
Lovely.
She has taken up the baton and she has run with it.
Yeah, beautiful. Look, a beautiful story, and thank you so much for sharing, Professor Marianne Bensalik. So you are living in Darwin, is that where you're based, yes?
Yes, I'm living in Darwin, and I'm the matriarch here of the family.
Of course. Holding the reins.
Oh, yes, so I won't let go.
You say jump, the family say how high. They don't come down till you tell them to.
That's right. Well, I worked right up until... I was 68.
Yes.
And I did a lot of committee things. So now I'm only just on a very small thing. I'll be 82 in November, and I still love doing what I do.
82, young, beautiful.
Yep, because it all revolves around our mob.
Exactly.
It revolves around our mob.
And living life to the fullest and living our life, but also we're paving our way for our young brothers and sisters coming through, no matter what industry, no matter what education. We just need more black successes, don't we?
Well, that's right. Well, you know what? I want to say that very first program in Adelaide, now we've got programs in every university in Australia, and we are working at every position, Pro-Vice-Chancellor, Chancellors.
Yes.
Only one we haven't got, and that's a Vice-Chancellor, and that's coming soon.
Exactly. Watch this space.
I'm waiting for that before I let go of the reins.
Professor Maryanne Bensalik, thank you very much for sharing a beautiful story, and congratulations on your journey. And Kasanam, hats off to Kasanam in celebrating 25 years. And Kasanam, the Congress of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Nurses and Midwives, a beautiful national organisation. They will have you down there celebrating for 25 years. And it's a great platform, and thank you for sharing.
It's been my pleasure, and a shout out to all your listeners.
Beautiful. Anna, you take care. All the best to you. Keep smiling and keep cracking that whip there for them younger ones.
Thank you. Bye.
Take care, darling. Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn there. There's Professor Maryanne Bensalik, EED at Harvard University, and I've got her professor, nurses, and then celebrating with the 25 years celebration of Kasanam, Congress of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Nurses and Midwives, happening very soon, and 25 years they're celebrating that, and they're recognising, acknowledging all the nurses and midwives who've gone before them, and hence is the conversation of National Exhibition Part 2 Yarns going on with Kasanam. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Took the privilege, y'all took the wealth, took the lives of innocent boys and girls, still denying our experience, made it feel lesser. I've worked with these kids and they telling me they fed up. I'm working with these white folk who know enough for better. I'm working with the government, another pet nigga, new day seems rich. Nothing changed, we afraid, we glorifying mediocrity up to this day. Let's be real about it, and maybe then we can transform this country, heal the pain for my great-grandmama, for my nana, for my cousins, for my sisters and my mama, for our brothers up in lockup, for these white folk who sick and confused, and for these pleas who sick enough to treat us the way that they do, for these politicians who forgot about what it means to operate from a place of humanity. Look, forget the pride and self-righteousness. This is gonna take a whole lot more than your good intent. Come on, let's go.
If only you could see what this all means. Black life matters. If only you could see what you're doing.
Let's talk about it. Look, we sacrifice another black voice. Why? Just to prove another white point. Right. I will stand for the justice. I'll tell you what the problem. This is not a problem. This is catastrophic. Mama didn't raise me to become complacent. Now she showed me love in her heart that's so amazing. So I'ma push it forward, praying for the fallen. Dreaming of the day we can look it in the face and that war can't buy for the lies that they preach us. The violence, silent agreements, the pride and deceit. Unwillingness to believe for the nightmare that this done dear to my dream. And I'm dreaming the better ways of a better day and some change that ain't gonna take another couple hundred years. Nothing. We push above where we are. It ain't hard if we all got the courage to get up and get involved with it. Let it, let it love. Come on.
If only you could see what this all means. Black life matters.
Baby.
If only you could see what you're doing to me.
Let's talk about it.
Black life matters. family. Look.
Your Black Lives Matters.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Such a beautiful child. What could they do with this child? Where was the need solution? But there was nothing they could do, so they gave her to the streets, and she joined all the rest of the hungry and the tired feet.
Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, for your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Now, the Royal Australian College of General Practitioners, that's the RACGP, launched an alcohol and other drug GP educational resource library. And to talk about that space we have Dr. Hester Wilson on the line, chair of RACGP's Specific Interest Addiction Medicine Network. On the line, Dr. Hester, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well. And yourself?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, a very important conversation. We're talking about RACGP launches alcohol and another drug GP educational resource library. So tell us about this innovation, educational resource library, as a tool for our GPs.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a free for view. Anybody can look at it. Huge amounts of information that support, specifically focused towards supporting GPs around Australia to ensure that they've got the skills and support that they need to talk to their patients and help their patients who are experiencing alcohol and other drug issues.
And look, we don't have to be sick to get better, but anyway, we can get better in regarding tools or resources, education at that, to better ourselves and to better our professionals in helping the constituents out there. Here we have an educational resource library, a great tool.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, and it is, for us in general practice, what we're really focused on is supporting our patients to make healthier choices so that they don't actually come to harm, you know.
Yes.
So really that early intervention and helping people to think through, well, how is this affecting you? How is it affecting your health? How is it affecting your relationships? So that people can make those choices before they come to harm. And the resource library has a whole heap of information around how GPs can actually support their patients there, so with prevention, but also intervening if people have developed issues. So if you're now, you know, finding that, geez, I'm drinking more than I would like, or it's making me feel unwell, or I've had to go to hospital, you know, it's affecting my relationships, that you can go to your GP and say, look, I really want assistance with this. And the GP, many GPs did training. Huge program has rolled out from 2019 up until now to support GPs, and many thousands of GPs did that training. And the resource library is on the back of that. So it's to support those GPs that did the training, but also for those that didn't. And as I say, it's free to access for any GP to come and have a look so that they can ensure that they've got all the skills that they need to support their patients and be able to have those conversations and assist people to, you know, to change maybe what's not working for them and ensure that they maintain their good health.
Well, when we talk about pandemic, we're talking about COVID-19, but if you look at drugs and alcohol, that in itself is a pandemic, is it not?
Yeah, look, drugs and alcohol has been with us for millennia and will continue to be with
exactly.
us. And really our focus is not so much on drugs and alcohol themselves, but on the harm that they can cause to individuals, families and communities. And really being, you know, proactive, working with the people that we see to ensure that they can make good decisions. And if they've developed an addiction, that we can support them with really well evidence-based treatments that can help them overcome that.
And so having the Educational Resource Library, there it is, a great tool to help people and the general public out there to get better in the space, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Fantastic. A very important conversation. Thank you so very much for sharing, Dr. Hester. All the
Thank
best to you.
You.
Stay warm and we'll yarn soon.
Thank you so much. You have a great day.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's Dr. Hester Wilson, and she's the chair of the RACGP's, that's the Royal Australian College of General Practitioners. She's Specific Interest Addiction Medicine Network, and talking about the new, the RACGP launched the new alcohol and other drug GP Educational Resource Library. So a very important library, a tool to help our GPs, to help and constituents out there in regard to alcohol and drugs. So there it is. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong? Enter the conversation here, National Talk Black. Dilly number here is 1-800-422-416.
G'day you mob, this is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, we gotta keep this thing here. I like my ship on nothing. It's better when the uninformed keeps that fun that way, and it stops us from getting bored. Got the secret, you gotta keep it down low. Got the secret, babe, let nobody know. Got the secret, you gotta keep it down low. Got the secret, babe, let nobody know.
Just like you talked to me.
Yeah, Two Deli, welcome back to your daily program here, National Talkback, Nubba Noram. That's Busby Maru here on your daily program. National Talkback, 1 hour program, come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji country. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can always text a brother, 045 714 0550, and our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. Otherwise, the deadly number is 1-800-422-416. Looking at the top stories in the news today, man accused of shooting dead three people in North Queensland appears in court. New South Wales Premier said, go for it. Barilaro tells probe into Plum NYC job. Diamonds claim Australia's 1,000th gold medal in front of hostile crowd there in at the Commonwealth. Qantas execs management line up for 3 months of airport work. Rental prices are up about up across the board, but they've exploded in these suburbs. The suburbs are double delight for emotional Kyrgios, who ends a winning drought. Other details here, trending stories. Details on Vegemite jar fascinates America. Peter Bowl new race was comprised before he started. Australia's notorious 38 bike clubs exposed. Barbara Eden, and that's the I Dream of Jeannie. Barbara Eden recalls Elvis Presley asking her about marriage and telling her about Priscilla. So there are your headlines for today's news, and tell us what's happening in your neck of the woods, you mob. On this deadly number, 1-800-422-416, National Talk Black, 1 hour program. But Tim has left on the program, and we've got news coming up via NIRS, and big shout out to the NERS team. Stay tuned, BBM 98.7 FM. Let's go to JW Justin Wellington. Aika Aika, do enjoy.
Hey, yo, big wave. Tell them Aika. Small time alongside JW.
My bestie and your bestie sit down by the fire. Your bestie says she want parties, so can we make these flames go higher? Talking about hey now, hey now, hey now, hey now. Aiko, Aiko, Ane. Chucky Mofina, Anane. Chucky Mofina, Ane. Start my truck, let's all jump in. Here we go together. Nice cool breeze and big palm trees. I tell you, life don't get no better. Talking about hey now.
Pop it low now, take it to the max now. Jam in this small jam way. Jam in this small jam way.
My bestie and your bestie dancing by the fire. Your bestie says she want parties, so can we make these flames go higher? Talking about hey now.
Right hoochie mama, make me party non-stop in a island banda. Swing those hips and back it up to me ragga. A chance for party ladies with the doggy doggy. I'm jamming island reggae, rapping blue, green and yellow. Me tapping on me beat, make a slow wine for me baby. Speakers pumping, people jumping, we jamming the island way.
Shout out to the good time crew all across the islands. Grab your shoes, let me 2x2, and now we're shining bright like diamonds. Talking about
hey now.
Yeah, beautiful track there. Aika Aika, Justin Wellington featuring Small Jam. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Going to catch up with Selwyn on the line. Good morning, brother.
Yeah, brother. Yeah, when Gibb was talking about, you know, the stuff, some of the stuff we talk about, I'm going to have to be out.
You don't have to be, sorry?
You don't have to be. You know, honest to listen, you know, like you're talking about the war, brother. It's not just the whitewashing, you talk about the war, brother, you know?
Mm.
And all the stuff we're turning up.
Yeah, exactly. Brother, beautiful. Yeah. I think you enjoy the cheer up.
Yeah. And what our brother asked you this, I was thinking, like, sometimes you say opinions are like B.O., we all have one. And I was thinking about that. When we do top all of myself, most of the times, you know, like, my uncle in one time, I was a money picket because he trusted me with the money.
Mm.
And I got picked up on the world. But when you say opinions are like, we all have one. But when you were around, you're gonna represent the opinions of
exactly.
the people that chuck it, you know. you talk to Satan Barman, you take a Satan street, you watch that for this dog or and when you see relatives of Mrs. Munster or somebody, you know, so you tell her this or you tell her that, you know, you're told what to say or what not to say.
Exactly.
And you're representative of those people here, brother. And on the war, brother, you know, you know, like World War One, World War Two, and the Vietnam War, there were wars on grounds belonging to people of color. I think the bugger that suffered a lot, and you know, like even in the Pacific, brother, and even though they say, you know, they're champions of the free world, and I said before, you know, what about those people in was hearing about Indonesia doing the, you know, brother, They too suffer too, and the talk
exactly.
is always to us, especially on bloody social media side.
Mm.
Oh, you blokes, you fellas here are lucky. Other people invade this country, and what that does is make their violence more civilized.
But invasion is invasion, isn't it? No matter who's invading.
Yeah, and we still suffer no matter what violence it is. We still
exactly.
And bugger me, dear brother, when they say that, oh, you're lucky other people didn't come here. And I think it was sort of the white fellows, especially mainstream, they put that in our mind is that other people of color have to invade here. But brother, what China is doing, love them or you know, I am no massacre, brother, no killing. I mean, if they went to the Pacific or they come here, there's no sort of massacre. You know, nobody got shot.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, brother. Thank you very much, brother.
Thank you, my brother. Too deadly. Someone regular caller here on your daily program, National Talk Black. And look, this daily program is a one-hour program, and it just states the obvious in regarding our conversations are not heard on First Nation radio station, on mainstream radio station. So the First Nation radio station is a powerful tool, so do utilise it. Former's left on program. Looking at news here, Redfern leaders cautiously welcome NCIE announcement, demand accountability. A group of 10 Aboriginal controlled organisations says the community has been failed by the two bodies that have been negotiating the future of the centre and have provided 12 recommendations aimed at saving their programs. So announcement by the Indigenous Land and Sea Corporations, ILSC, to keep the fitness and aquatic services operating at Redfern's National Centre of Indigenous Excellence, NCIE. That's National Centre of Indigenous Excellence, NCIE, has been cautiously welcomed by 10 Aboriginal community organisations who have been jointly advocating for its future, while the New South Wales Aboriginal Land Council, NSWALC, said it's disappointed with the ILC's misleading statement. On Sunday night, the ILSC released a statement saying it had been in constant dialogue with key stakeholders across the weekend and will now keep the two services running. It comes after the ILSC made an announcement last Monday that it would close these operations, meaning around 50 staff would lose their jobs and community service providers unsure about the future of their programs at the site. The community turned up every day at the centre at 1 p.m. to protest against the decision and was ultimately granted an audience with Indigenous Australians Minister Linda Burney, who told the ILSC and the New South Wales Aboriginal Land Council, who are the new owners of the property, that they had a week to sort out a solution with community involvement. While NSWALC owns the property after divestment from the ILSC, it said it was only approached by the ILSC to take over the business operations at the end of April, and has been adamant it is unable to cover the cost of keeping the fitness and aquatic centre running, as it had been debt funded by the ILSC for a number of years. Sunday's statement by the ILSC said the announcement to continue the service was made in anticipation of an agreement with the NSWALC that would see them as the new owner of operators. So there it is. Have your say in Yarnup Strong. You have to do that tomorrow because 22 have got to sign up here for today. But thank you very much for your company, you mob. And back in the hots again tomorrow with that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. To Deadly Mob, thank you for your time. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, and we'll yarn soon.